session number 11970, reel 1.
Mr. Albert Birtwistle, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Birtwistle?
Yes, I was born at Crawshay Booth, 34 North Eve, Crawshay Booth. And
what was the date?
About 6th of April, 1898.
What did your father do for a life?
Well, he was a builder. Builder.
And how many were there in the family?
Our family was only a daughter and myself.
And could you tell me a little about your early life, you know, before you went to school, or...?
Well, I can't tell you much about it, so no, I don't remember so far back, I'm afraid. I think my memory's a bit faded, you know.
So what are your earliest memories, then?
Well, I remember going to school and...
Which school was it?
Goodshire Baptist Elementary School at Crawshay Booth.
And what kind of an education did you get there?
Well, just an elementary education, just the ordinary, you know. I know it was a bit tedious to me. I wasn't a very brilliant scholar, I don't think, really, you know. I used to, when I got a bit older, and I used to, like, absent myself a bit, and... because I was such a cared for horses, you know, I used to like horses, and I used to get to go with the horse instead of the school occasionally.
Where did you pick up your liking for horses? Were there some local?
Well, I think it's in the family actually, because our family have been farmers for ages and ages, from family history, from 18 odd, they're all farmers. Yes, and our old hall that they used to have, it was at Huncourt Hall in near Accrington.
And where did you your father, though, was a builder. Where did you come across horses?
Well, my father, the builders were the builder's yard was near our house, and we could see down on the builder's yard from our house, and the stables were just at the side. You know, so I used to always be going down to the stables. When my father went to work of a morning at 5 o'clock, because he had to get there for six, and he was lame, and he had a mile to walk. And I used to go down as soon as he'd gone out of the door and jump out of bed, and off I was down to the stables, get the key out off the door, and go in and start taking the bedding up and feeding them and one thing or another. When the carters came at 8 o'clock, or they were ready for, because they started at 8 o'clock in them days, 6 o'clock actually, the works, you know, in works, but 8 o'clock the carters used to come. They were ready for taking them on the job, you know.
Did you get paid for that, acting as a stable?
No, they used to, I didn't used to get paid, not for that.
You just did it to be with the horses?
Yeah, for the love of the horses, yes.
So, you weren't too bothered with school then, from the sound of it?
Well, no, I weren't too bothered about school.
What about, what did you plan to do after? You were just at the one elementary school, were you, or did you move?
That's right, no more, yes, just the one school.
And when did you leave?
Well, I left when I was 13 years old. I should have left when I was 12 and go a half day working and a half day at the school, but there was a place supposed to be left for me at the where my father worked, at the Calico Printers Association at Loughcliffe, and the managing director had said like I could go as a fitter or a joiner, an apprentice. But anyway, my father had a row with
managing director.
Chief engineer, and he packed up, he gave his work up, and anyway, the managing director came to see if my father still let me go, but he said no, he said, if you, chief engineer had it in for me, like he'd have it in for him, because I should be under him just the same as a fitter or a joiner. So he said, no, I'll go. So my father, he knew, well, practically everybody, because he used to be well known in the village. Everybody knew, you know, used to know him. And he went and saw another managing director of another of a mill. And he said I could go and start there and go in the engraving department. So I went in the engraving department and started an apprentice engraver.
Now, what was the name of that mill?
Sunnyside Printworks. And Fothergill was the managing director.
You know, you were to be... What year did you start there, then?
I couldn't have it. 1912, I think, or something like that. 1911, 1912.
And could you tell me what exactly your job was there? Can you run through what you did?
I used to take all the samples off the finished rollers, that the finished jobs that was engraved. And I used to take all the samples off, mix my own colours, and take samples off to send to the to Manchester to get the orders from the samples that I'd taken. Yeah, very interesting, really.
And what were the skills you had to learn? I mean,
well, mixing colours, you know, getting like a mixing colours, and then the job that I had was to get the perfect job, you know, make it as clear as I could and everything for the samples that I took off on the cloth, so they could put them in the book and get the orders from Manchester, wasn't they? That was the actual job.
Did you enjoy it in the print work?
Oh, yes, I enjoyed it all right, but I wasn't there. And then, of course, the army came along at night.
But at the print works, you were laughing. Did you have a bit of trouble with the discipline of
I had a bit of trouble with the discipline, yes.
Why was that?
This was when I came back from the army.
No, but before you went.
Oh, no, I was all right before I went. No, I used to get to... I used to get up at 5 o'clock of the morning, and we started at 6, and I used to go down at 5:30 and light all the gases, because it were gas those days. You know, it wasn't electric. They had just the gas flame, not the the mantles, the gas mantles that they used to have afterwards. You know, they brightened the light up. No, it was a bit of a job. So I got up at 6 and off. I got with lighting starting at 6, you see.
And then what was the rest of the day?
Well, 8 o'clock we finished for half an hour for breakfast.
Was there a canteen then?
No, we hadn't a canteen. No canteens in them days. No, you'd take sandwiches and what was it? And then we had an hour for dinner from 12 till 1. And then it would work till 6 o'clock at night. So it was a long day, really.
And that was just five. That was 5 days a week, was it? Or did you work?
You worked Saturday morning as well, till 12 o'clock Saturday morning. You know, you went at 6 and worked till 12, on Saturday mornings as well.
Was there a union?
Oh yes, there were unions. Because the unions had formed pretty well before that time, you know. And they were an organised union, oh yes, the Engravers Union, I was in that. Yeah. Now, and then, of course, war came along.
So you stayed at the Sunnyside until you joined up.
Yes.
What about in your spare time? Were you a member of any of the boys' organisations?
Well, I was a member of the Conservative Club at Crawshaw, who used to play billiards and whatnot. And then there was a club on the top at Goodshaw Chapel that belonged to some old men that they'd got this club together there, and we had two billiard tables in, you see, so we could go up there and have a game of billiards there as well.
That was your interest, billiards,
yeah,
was it?
More or less. That and, of course, footballing and one thing or another.
But you weren't in the Boys Brigade or Boy Scouts or anything?
No. I joined a temperance, at one time, but I weren't long in that.
Were you in any, so you never got any drill of any sort before you went in the army?
Oh, no. No, no. I knew what we got at school, that were all.
What did you get at school?
Well, just the ordinary, what is it, marching to the school, a formula of marching to the school. That was the only thing we used to get.
Now, on the day war broke out, 4th of August, 1914, were you expecting war at all yourself? Did you watch what was going on?
No, well, we didn't. We never thought about such things, did we? I mean, to say as boys, because you're too interested in playing, in games, what you're playing, cricket or one thing or another, you know.
Do you remember anything about that day that war broke out?
When war broke out, I can't tell you about war breaking out, but I know two or three days afterwards, the 1st/5th East Lancashires from Burnley, the Burnley barracks, they marched through and we went to watch them go down at dinner time for our dinner hour, went to the gates, works gates, and watched them pass by and march into Manchester to join up with the 42nd Division at Manchester, you know. And then, of course, they were sent abroad afterwards.
Did you give them a cheer?
Oh, not half, yeah. I think we did cheer, yeah.
Were you very patriotic at that time?
Well, not that time, no, I don't think so. I don't think we were patriotic much until the war had got going, like, and in February, my pal and I went to join up, you know.
Hang on, I'll come back. So, you weren't, when the war started, you weren't that caught up in the sort of jingles?
Oh, no, we weren't caught up in that sort of thing at all. I was there, we were only 16, so we couldn't, they didn't expect to go to the war, did you then?
Did the war affect your factory at all, with people going off to the mill?
No, it didn't affect. No.
And did it just carry on as before at the factory?
That's right. As far as I can remember, we were all, you know, just ordinary. Nothing happened much there.
So how did you come to join up? What made you decide to join up? Because you were still well underage. What made you want
well,
to
Well, I don't know. I think we were up talking, you know, and then... like lads coming that had joined, coming back that we knew, you know, on leave at them, and sort of got a little bit interested. So me and my pal went...
What was his name?
Well, he was 16, like me. We were both the same, both 16.
Her name?
Leslie Ball. Yeah. So we went down to join up, and at Rawtenstall, there was it... in the centre at Rawtenstall, well, the recruiting place in K Street. And we went in and the sergeant said, "What do you want? Want to join up?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "you're too young, get home, get away again, you know." Anyway, he said, "Well, couldn't we be like drummer boys?" And he said, "You make better little drumsticks than drummer boys, you know. You get out and get home." Anyway, we went away, and then a bit after, there was another sergeant, well, not the same day, I think it was about a week after, we went back again, you know, because one or two more that had joined up that we knew, and at 16, you know, the lads. So we went down and were joining up again. Well, I wanted to go in the...
this time he didn't mention this different sergeant.
Oh, no, a different sergeant. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, we join up like. And I said, I wanted to go in the household cavalry, you see. So he says, can you manage two horses? I said, oh, yes, I can manage two horses, all right, because I was used to them. But, so I signed, and he got me signed up and everything. And then... He said to my pal, he says, can you manage two horses? And he says, no, because he'd been bitten with a horse and lifted up with his, you know, he'd been giving it some hay, and it grabbed his fingers instead of the hay, and we're messing, jumping him up and down. So he said, no, he said, I can't. He said, well, what do you come and join the horse regiment for, you know? Get out. So I said, right. I said, I'll finish too then. I'm not going either. So I tore my papers up and off out. I said, well, can we join another regiment? He said, oh, yes. He said, I joined the East Lancs. He put me in there for the East Lancs. So we joined, and we had to go the next day. Went home and told our mother, well, of course, they were upset, mother.
Hang on, just a minute before we come. Did you have a medical that day?
No, we hadn't a medical that day, no. In the following day for a medical.
And he hadn't questioned your age at all?
He hadn't questioned then, no. When we said we were 19, of course, he never questioned it at all.
So what did your parents say?
Of course, we were pretty big, you know, big lads, you see. Well, my mother was upset. She never went to bed for 4 nights after. No, probably upset my mother.
What about your dad?
Well, my dad carried on with me, you know, but... he said, well, he said, you got your name down, you had to go, like, now, you know. So I went next year and passed the doctor, and then they sent us on to Preston.
What sort of a medical examination was it? Was it a proper one?
Well, just, you know, it's just sipped off and the doctor just examined you, and not much of an examination, not to me, not going through like you do today.
And he didn't spot you were underage?
No, he never said nothing about that.
So, and what was the date you actually joined up?
I think it was the 15th of February.
1915?
Yeah, 1915, yes.
So, what happened next then? You had to go, where did you have to report?
Oh, we did report at Preston. They gave us a warrant, you know, a railway warrant. And we did booking at Fulwood Barracks, Preston.
What happened when you got there, then?
Well, of course, natural thing, you know, a bit of bull. Corporal there, get big corporal with a black moustache curled out like a... I think he'd been in India, and he carried on. He shouting and carrying on with it. And then they threw you, they went you in the stores and got your uniforms and everything, you know.
What did you get a proper uniform, fully
fitted
out?
Oh yes, you got your uniform there then. They had the uniforms.
And what else did you get?
a big pair of boots, one too big for me. And I went down parade and they made blisters on my heels and I were limping about and the officer shouted to me, he said, what's the matter with you? So I told him, I said, my shoe is too big. I said, I've got all blisters on my ears. He said, oh, come on with me. So he took me to the stores. I said, give this fellow a pair of boots that fit him. You know, so I got a pair of boots that fit me and everything.
Did they give you the rest of your kit, your housewife and your packing?
Oh, yes, they gave it all. They gave us all that there, yes.
And what, you were there about a week, I think you told me.
That's right, we were a week.
And what were you doing during that week?
Well, drilling on the square, that were all. You just right turn, left turn, one thing and another, you know, just about turn, and just marching round in general, you know.
And about how many of you were there in the squad?
Oh, I don't know, there were plenty. I couldn't tell you what they were in the squad, but I know the barracks square are full of recruits, you know, marching up and down here and there. You couldn't hear one from the other, do you mean? They're all shouting, the sergeants, you know.
And how did you take to drill?
I was all right for drill, yes, drill. It was my mate that wasn't too good.
What did he find difficult?
Well, everything, because I think he weren't military inclined, you know, really. Not like I was. I was interested in it then, you know. I was probably interested in it.
Right from the start?
Right from the beginning, yes. Oh, yes, I was very interested.
What about... did you do any other training there, or was it just drill?
No, just the drill, because we never got our rifles. We had no rifles there. We didn't get them until we got down to Plymouth.
And what did you... Were you in barracks?
Yes, in the barrack room, yes. Yeah.
And what was your first reaction to army life?
Oh, well, a bit rough, because the first meal we had, that was a breakfast, and we went in this in the dining room, and the tables were all laid out, of course, bare tables, scrubbed, well scrubbed, but there was a big basin, a quart, I dare say, with the basin, a white basin, and... A great thick slice of bread besides it, each one, like all laid out these tables, and we had to sit down. And of course, it came with porridge for a start. Oh dear, we couldn't stomach it, you know. And then they came around with kippers.
What was wrong with the porridge? I mean,
well, it was.
What can you do to porridge?
Well, it wasn't like porridge, not like your mother made, you know. All thick and. Stodgy, you know. Yeah.
So it was badly cooked?
Big pardon?
Badly cooked.
Oh, it was, yeah. And
then they brought kippers, you said?
Yeah, they had a big Dixie of kippers, you know, and they came round and got all of a tail and banged it on your onto your bread, you know, and that were it. It went along all the wall to all round. So, you couldn't stomach them, you know, either. Oh, dear. And this, there was a fella in the corner, came from Blackburn, and he shouts, "Anybody don't want the kippers, throw them over here." Well, kippers were flying all across the bar, all across the dining room, and this fella, and he piled the kippers. Joe, they called him Kipper after. But he wasn't what he is either. He weren't long before he was discharged from Plymouth. No soldiers, all he wasn't.
What about the other meals? I mean, we're all meals
like
that.
Well, now, dinner we had stew. Oh, dear. And I said to my mate, I said, no, all stars on the top. It was, like a green, greeny yellow. And it was a curry stew, you know. Well, I'd never had curry in my life or anything like that, you know. I'd always had something nice to eat. And I said to my mate, I says, come on. I said, let's go over in the canteen, because there's a canteen at the far corner where the North Lancs, they were on the other side of the barrack square and in the barracks across. So there were a canteen attached to the North Lancs, what is it? So I said, come on, I said, let's go across to the canteen and get a cup of tea and a wad, you know. So I went across there and, before that, this corporal came round.
The one with the moustache?
No, I'm with a tash. Listen to your names. Go on fatigue after, in cookhouse fatigue, you know. Ball, you know. Bird whistle, don't forget, report at the cookhouse after meal. Anyway, we went across and said, oh, blow this. You know, we weren't going to mix it doing that after we'd gone across the canteen and bought our own meals. Let somebody else wash their own dishes up, you know, sort of style. Anyway, went across and I said, come on, we'll go right in the far corner down there. Then, you know, we'll be out of the road. Nobody will see us like. So we got our cup of tea and off down the corner of the room. We were upstairs on the first floor. And it wasn't long before this big corporal with his dash came up the stairs and looked across, saw us two, and he shouts, Ball, Birdsall, get over on that roof cookhouse. He says, well, I'll bounce you like a bloody pop alley. Oh, dear, you know. That was hard, the corporal. Off we went. And these Dixies, oh dear, 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 all the grease on the Dixies, and you had to flay them. You do it with sand, oregano and sand and water. Absolutely terrible. Your hands were absolutely... Anyway, we did get a cup of tea for doing it, you know, so it weren't so bad. And got our hands washed with water, thank goodness. They were all cold water there, you know.
What, to clean the Dixies?
No, they got warm water for clean the Dixies, but to wash anything like that, they were cold water, you know, in the sluice.
Did you get used to the food during that week?
Well, no, not really. No. Dear, no.
So that first week...
We were buying all sorts of wads and things at canteen, you know.
Could you afford it, though, on your pay?
Well, we got money from home, you know.
So that first week, the food was a disappointment.
Oh,
what about the barrack rooms and sleeping with all... You know, you were...
Well, I can't really remember much about it, you know, now, but I know it were rough, you know, and the blankets were rough blankets. They weren't... like you had at home, you know, a bit thick.
But despite the discomfort, you were still keen on
Oh, yes, I was keen. Oh, I was keen to, what is it? I was keen to be a soldier, you know. But my pal, he didn't get on too well with it at all.
Anything else happened while you were at Fulwood Barracks?
No, I don't remember much about it, really.
So what was the next? You got a move then, didn't you?
Yes, we were on a train to Plymouth. entering at Preston, you know. And then we were 16 hours in going down to Plymouth. We were all on all carriages. There were no corridors or anything to go through, you know. They were all those single coach things. So you had to do the best you could. I know. I forget. There were piled into it, just as many as you could seat in every one, you know. And of course, all your kits and everything else. The carriage was full.
Now, was this the whole battalion going down to Plymouth, or was it
all the draft that was there? You know, what was ready for going down.
It was
down.
A big draft.
Oh yes, it was a big draft. Yeah, a full train full.
And who were you joining in Plymouth? You were going to join the.
Went down to join the 3rd Training Battalion at Plymouth. That they were in batteries. All the headquarters were in the battery. Going up towards Fort Efford, and then there was a.
Which battery was it? Did it have a name?
No, only Lehrer battery, that was all, Lehrer. Yes.
And where were you?
Well,
when you first
they took us down, because we weren't up at the battery. We were down in billets in the village, at the Lehrer village. They took us all round and. They had to each house they went in and see what they had and what the family they had and everything else, and gave them so many lads to look after. Well, the lady that we went lodging with, she emptied her front room, and there was eight of us in her front room, and she had to cook for us and all of that. She was a smashing lady. She was my wife's mother. I married the daughter. Yeah.
How many were there in the family? Their family.
Well, living at home, you see, they went out to service. So living at home, then there was the father, mother, two young daughters, and. And a son, a elder son, the father and son worked in the dockyard. And then there was another daughter, just older than my wife. But my wife was out to service and she lived in. So the other one used to go to service each day, the one that was older.
Even so, it must have been pretty crowded at meal time.
Well, it was pretty crowded, yes, because she had one table and she had a form under the window, do you see? Well, what is on there? And then there was one at each end of the table, and then two sat on the front as well, you know. So we had a pretty crowded one there.
Did she get the raw rations to cook, or did she just get paid?
No, I think she had to buy them, I think, because I think they got 22 shillings a week for each soldier then, and they had to. Provide everything, I think. I don't ever remember any rations coming in at any shape or form. She had a bit of a rough time, you know.
Was the food a lot better, though?
Oh, food. She gave us the food. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. She did it on the money, you know, what she got.
She didn't skimp on you at all?
No. She'd give us everything. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Breakfast, as much as you'd have, you know. But he had his own allotment, the father, and of course I think he got a lot of it from there, you know, a lot of the food from there, because every morning, you see, she used to have stuff over from the night before, from the dinner that we had the day before, like potatoes and cabbage and all that. She used to mix a lot of it, and you call it, what do they call it, Arnie?
Scouse.
No,
bubble and squeak.
You'd call it bubble and squeak. And then you used to give us eggs and ham bacon. And she gave us exceptional food. She did make exceptional food for us. Everything. And they used to make big pasties for us. And, you know, pasties, one each. And Oh, she was a smashing person.
Did you go back there for your lunch as well?
Went for every meal, yeah.
So you'd go back...
Breakfast, dinner, yeah, breakfast, dinner and tea, yeah.